We looked at the idea in verses 3 through 8, looking at how we are to be those things and the effect of the transformed life on us, that we're to be those that are servants. And we mentioned in Bible class some of the things that we do as servants, looking at some of those things that we are to accomplish because we are doing what God's will is. If we are a transformed person, we are going to be doing God's will. We're going to be changing ourselves into what God would have us to be. But not only that, we talked about confirmation this morning, being a person who understands and knows where we are and that we are going to be that person that's going to change. Tonight we're looking at transformation, and it's found in those two verses there too. We are those people that do not need to be conformed to the world, but we need to be transformed. And it tells us how to do that. It's by the renewing of the mind. Now, what I'm going to say tonight, I thought somebody might misunderstand this, because God is going to help us to do that. How He does that is not something that's strange. It's not something that's off the wall. It's very simple. God helps us to transform our lives by studying God's Word. That's the thing that helps us to change. It's not some little spirit that's going to tickle you in the back. It's not a worship service that you're going to go to where it's just going to be uplifting. Somebody says, oh man, we really had it yesterday at our worship service. Well, that's great. But what if the service is not that happy? What if it's dull? What do we say then? We don't have any religion? You see, we're depending on things that stir us emotionally. What we've got to do is be stirred emotionally, but by the Word of God. That's the thing that changes us. That's the thing that transforms us. How would you know what a Christian is? How would you know how a Christian is supposed to live if you did not have this book? I mean, you could do what you want to. I could do what I wanted to. And you might be right. I might be wrong. Both of us might be wrong, or both of us might be right. What we've got to try to do is to find out, what does God say within His Word? This idea of studying the Bible is something that is so necessary to know what it is to be a Christian, to know what God wants us to be as a Christian. And so what we're going to do is to look at this just a little bit. Ken's not back there. I'll get it whenever he gets. Well, I don't think that's going to work. I'll go back to that. Okay, hit that little button thing up there in the corner. Okay. Well, it's there in front of you. But he'll get that in just a butterfly somewhere. You see a butterfly? Anybody see a butterfly? He's coming. It's coming. It's coming. I know it's there. There's the butterfly. Isn't that a pretty butterfly? How would you like to have a butterfly that size to land on you? It'd knock you over. But for us that don't see well, we got to have big butterflies. But this is important for us to recognize. Now, what we need to do, first of all, is look at this idea of what transformation is. And so what I've done is try to define this term for you. It is to change into another form. It is, and that's Vine's dictionary. That's one of the things he's got there. We get our word metamorphosis from this. It is that which is the changing. And that's what I was trying to do, is give the idea of the butterfly, the little worm that turns into a, and I know that's not what you call them, but it turns into a butterfly. It does its metamorphosis. It changes into something else. And that's what we've got to do, is to be that one that changes. Now, sometimes people think that God's the one that does all of that. Well, He is. But please understand, we allow God to change us, or we will not let God change us. That's a decision that we make. That's our responsibility. Now, in our world today, a lot of people don't like the idea of us having responsibility. They want to put it all off on God. It's God does it all. And if it's not done, it's God's fault. No, if it's not done, it's our fault. God has done everything He can do to help us to know what His will is. He even wrote it down for us. He even gave some men inspiration to show that they were from God by the miracles they performed, that that word was from God. Remember John 3, when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night? We know that you're a teacher come from God. Nobody could do the things you do except God be with him. They could say the same thing about the apostles. We know you're come from God. Nobody can do the miracles that you do. Nobody can perform the things that you perform. So what's your message from God? What's your word from God? And the whole idea is we look at what God says within His Word and we take that and we put it into our lives. That's the transforming. That's the changing that's there. Now, I wish it was to where we could just say, okay, I'm going to have somebody to come up here and I'll put my hands on them and they're going to be just automatically changed. They're just going to be a totally different person after that. Or hear one sermon and, oh, that's going to change their whole life. It might for a period of time. But what you've got to do is to go on adding those things that God has within His Word to our life so that we can be that different kind of person. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be that. And so we're going to transform. We're going to change our lives. We're going to change our lives into something else. Now, maybe you've studied some of the people that have had their names changed within the Bible. A man like Abram. Anybody know who that was? Who that is? Who it was? Who he was and who he is? Abram, and his name was changed to what? Abraham. His wife had her name changed. You go in and you see Saul. He had his name changed. And what they did sometimes, not all the time, but what they did sometimes is when there was that great transformation, that great change there, they took on a different name because they were a different person. Oh, that's Joe. No, that's not Joe. That's a Christian now. Because look at how he lives his life. He's a changed person. And so here, that change has to be there. Vine also defined this word in this way. Christians are to undergo a complete change which under the power of God will find expression in their character and in their conduct. Now that's a good definition of transformation for Christians. What we do is we're going to have a change in our character and in our conduct. Before, we might steal. Now we don't do that anymore. Before, we might lie. We don't do that anymore. Why? Because we're a transformed person. And sometimes we like to see that. Maybe the person who is known as a sinner in town, used to, you know, every town, and I guess Tanner had theirs, there was somebody that stayed drunk most of the time. And they would just walk around town. Now, maybe Georgia towns are different than Alabama towns, but in Georgia, that's what we had. But what if that person changed his life and he became a Christian? Everybody in town would talk about it because he doesn't do that anymore. He doesn't drink like that anymore. He doesn't act like that anymore. He's a totally different person. Everybody'd say, wow, boy, he's a transformed person. That's exactly right. That's what we're supposed to be, transformed people. Transformed by what? Transformed by the Word of God, by what God says within His Word. We change our life, we change our actions, we change our character, and we live a different way because we're now being taught how to live by God through His Word. And that's what God does. This Word is here for us. And we can't say, well, now, you know, God did it all. In a sense, God did do it all. But in a sense, we allowed God to do that to us. You allow God to instruct you. You allow God to lead your life. Or you will not let God do that. Or you will go so far and say, God, I'm not going any farther. But what we got to do is to understand we've got to be those people that are the total servants of God. We're totally transformed. It's not what my will is. In fact, Paul said, it's not I that live, but what was the rest of that one? But Christ that lives in me. He said, Paul died back there. You know, you go into a watery what? Grave. Why do they call that a grave? Because part of you is supposed to die there. The love for sin, the participation for sin, the love for things that are wrong, that's supposed to die there. Let me tell you something. It's not a death that just dies and it goes away because you've been in the water. It's a death that dies because after that, you guide your life by the Word of God. That's a transformed life. That's a changed life. And that's what Paul's talking about here. You've got to be a changed person. You can't be like the world because, see, if you're like the world and living like the world, then, you know, you belong to the world. But if you change your life and you're walking according to God's standard, then you're God's person and you're a child of God. So we've got to have that. It's got to be something that's transformed within us. All right, now, What is the goal of transformation? Two things, I think. First of all, the goal is to become like Christ. Turn to 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, if you would. I thought I had that one. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. Listen at this. But we all with unveiled faces behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We look and we see within the Word the glory of God because of what that Word is. And it's kind of like looking in a mirror and you see that and it's there. And he's that is there. And being transformed, here you're looking in a mirror and you see that image there and you say, I want to look like that person. I'm going to comb my hair like that person. I'm going to talk like that person. I'm going to like what that person likes. That's what a conformity is to Jesus Christ. Now, you say the same thing if you want to be conformed to the world. But we've got to take and we're going to conform to that. We transform ourselves into that kind of person, who that is. That's the reason that Paul said, Christ living in me. Christ makes the decision. Somebody slaps you in the face, it's not you that make the decision not to slap them, because your decision would be hit them. But God's decision is that you forgive them and you help them and you do what you can for them. Now that's totally different than the world. But see, that shows that we've been transformed. And he said, and being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Now, what does that glory to glory mean? That means that here he's got glory and I'm going to have that glory too. And we're both going to show that glory to God. You see, we're not only lights to the world, but we're lights to God too. God looks down and he sees us and he sees our lives and he sees our lives as we live according to God's will, to his will. And that makes him happy. I think I remember reading in a book about a fella that God told the devil, did you see my servant, Job? He's bragging about Job. What about God bragging about you in the way you live your life? Most of us are sitting here saying, no, God wouldn't do that. Oh, yes, he would. Was Job perfect? Nope. Could you see things in Job's life that were wrong? Yep. But he was one that through it all, he kept a faith in God. He kept trusting in God. He kept believing in God. And he did not give up. And God said, look at him. Look at him. And God can say that about you too. As a child of God that's serving him, that's being transformed by your mind to that glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We've got that Spirit of the Lord within us. And so we're transformed people. We're changed people. And so what we're going to do is we're going to become those people that we're going to be like Christ. But not only that, in Hebrews 10 and verse 5, it says that we are to live like Christ. We are to live the way he lived. How did he live? How could you sum up the way Christ lived on this earth in maybe two words? One word. You know what it is? By obedience. He suffered things. He was willing to do the will of the Father. I come, he said, to do what? I'm going to feed all the people in the world. Nope. Not that that's not important. It is. I'm going to come and I'm going to do away with all the diseases of the world. That's great, but that's not it. He came to obey the Father, to do what God wanted him to do. That's what he came to do. That's what our job is. I mean, we need to get this Christianity thing down to something simple. Because simple is easy to understand. Complex, it takes a genius to figure that out. This thing of Christianity is simple. We obey God. That's it. Now, how we do that is determined by where we are spiritually in our spiritual life. for a person who they have not obeyed the gospel, and they hear a little bit about the gospel, and they say, you know, I want to hear more about that, and then they make that decision to become a child of God. That's what they did in Acts, the second chapter. Those people there heard the word, they believed the word, they confessed, and they were immersed in water to have their sins washed and cleansed away. Well, that was what they were supposed to do. But suppose you're already a Christian. Suppose you've been a Christian for a long time. How do you then conform and obey God? Well, you look at your life. The way I'm living, is that like God would live? Is that like Jesus Christ would live? And then we can look at His Word and see exactly how Jesus lived, exactly how the apostles lived, and we can see in our lives, and I don't think you've got to be a genius to figure it out, that I'm not living that way. And I need to change my life. I need to be a different kind of person. So I'm going to change my life. I'm going to be a different kind of person. I'm going to live in a different kind of way because I'm one that I've been conformed, and so I'm going to be willing to do that. And so I'm going to act like Jesus Christ. Again, we go to the passage that we talked about a while ago. Paul said, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. When you see me walking, you see Christ walking. When you hear me talking, you hear Christ talking. Now let's forget about this thing of humility and all that. And we're not talking about bragging about that. If you're bragging about it, you're already wrong anyhow. Don't brag about it. But thank God that you're willing to follow His will. It all comes back to Him. All glory, all praise, all honor goes back to God. And if I'm a Christian and I'm forgiven of my sins, I can't sit around and say, hey, look at me. Look at me. I'm really a good one. No, I got to thank God for it. I got to point people to God. Because He's the one that cleansed me. He's the one that made me whole. He's the one that gave me salvation. He's the one that did all these things for me so that I could be a child of God. And it's important that we look at this. Now, I like this part now. I want you to see exactly why we need to be transformed. You say, well, so we can go to heaven. Well, that's a part of it, but that's not all of it. I want you to see why we need to be the people that are transformed. He says in Romans 12 and verse 1 that we are transformed by the mercies of God. We're transformed because God has extended His mercy to us. Now, look at these things up here that I've tried to write, and this is not all of them. This is just a few of them. The things that God has given you. You didn't pay for it. You don't deserve it. You didn't earn it. But He's given it to you. Now look at these things up here. Freedom from sin. You look up the passage. He has given us a freedom from sin. He said you can be free of your sins. Well, now how can I do that? Well, I can be the best person. I can live this way and I can walk this way. I can talk that way. Well, I can be the best person because He has made me free from sin. How do I show that? By the way I live my life, by the way I conduct myself. I can't take anything and brag about myself, talk about what a great person I am. I can't do that. I've got freedom from sin. Then he goes on to talk about, I've got eternal life. That eternal life that I have is not something that I earn. What can you do in this life to earn eternal life? To where you can go up to God and you can walk up to God and say, now God, you've got to give me this because I've done this and I paid for it. What could you say? Well, somebody might say, well, I was baptized, and God's going to look at us, I think, and say, you mean eternal life is worth you being dunked in water? Okay, don't think I'm disparaging baptism at all. But you don't have eternal life just because you were baptized. It's because you want to follow what God's will is. Now, please understand the distinction I'm making there. Not criticizing baptism at all. But I'm saying you can be baptized and not be that person that's changed in your life. And by that, you don't deserve eternal life. You deserve it because God gives it to you. He's given this to you. Not only that, He has given us a peace with God. Before we were enemies, we were fighting against God. We were going against God. And now we have a friend in God. Why? Because we're doing it all right? No, we don't do that. Why do we have that then? Because God said, here, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. Now, when we accept that, we have responsibilities to receive that gift. we've got responsibilities we've got to meet. So here is this gift that he's given to us. But not only that, we have access to the grace of God. Access to God's grace. How'd you get that? Well, you know, I have been to the worship service 15 times in a row and I've never missed. I've never missed. I think I was in about the 6th or 7th grade or maybe 10th grade before I ever missed a day in school. The reason I went to school is if I didn't, I stayed home. I had to work, so I went to school. But that didn't mean anything, really, basically. Didn't mean I've learned anything because I was there. In fact, I wish I'd have learned some stuff while I was there. And it's good to do that. But I didn't earn a whole lot from that, just being there. You can be at a worship service and never worship at all. Do you know that? And what we want to do is to gain some things so we can have this access to the grace of God. We can be saved from the wrath of God. God has a wrath. Every sin will be paid for. Either you pay for your own sins or you allow Jesus Christ to pay for them. That's a gift that God's given you. Let me ask you a question. Did you deserve Jesus Christ coming and dying on the cross for you? Did you deserve that? Could you look at the cross with Jesus up there and say, hey, I deserve this? We all have to look at it and say, I don't deserve that. I don't deserve what God has given me. I don't deserve the things that God has blessed me with. And we have all those things because of who God is. He has given us all those things. Now, what we've got to do is to say, I want this, I will take this, it'll be a part of my life, and I'll live according to how a person that has all these things is going to live. And if I don't live that way, I don't really want it. I'm fooling myself. And don't do that. Don't fool yourself. Don't be like the rich man that we talked about in Bible class this morning when God said, he said, I've got enough, so take it easy, everything's okay. He looked at that man and said, you are a fool. You're foolish. You're blessing and you're putting all your hopes in nothing that's going to go away, that's going to vanish. You may lose it. Somebody may get it. You may have to pay it in taxes. But it's not yours. Tonight, your soul will be required of you. And then the question, who will all these things be then? Well, your kids, your cousins, your aunts, your uncles, and whoever can scheme everybody else out of the money. That's who it's going to be. What's it going to do you when you stand before God? How's it going to help you to be one that's right with God? God's mercy will help us and motivate us. And that's what he's talking about here in Romans 12. God's mercy, how much God has given us. Can you look at God and say, God, you're asking too much of me? No matter what he asks, I can't say that. Not at all. I've got to recognize how wonderful it is to have what God has given me. We can repent of our sins, we can turn from those sins, but we've got to be those people that are transformed and we're going to be changed people. We're going to live a different kind of life. And not only that, what motivates us is what God has given us, but what should motivate us also is the love that Jesus Christ had for us when he came to the cross and he died on the cross for us. These things that I'm talking about now are the things that should motivate us to worship God, to serve God, to do the will of God. It's not, and please understand, sometimes in our immaturity, I think, as Christians, we say, I don't want to go to hell. And that's a good thing. But hopefully, with our maturity as a child of God, we see all that God has done for us, all that God has offered for us, all these things that we mention here, and we can mention a whole lot more. But not only that, here's Jesus Christ and all the things that he's done for us, the love that he has for us. I see all of that. Let me tell you something. I got to follow God. Because all he's done for me, and all he's doing for me, and all he's given me to do anything else, it's just foolish. So I've got to have all those things. I've got to do all those things. That's got to be a part of us. Paul in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 16 for the love of Christ constrains me. The love of Christ, and I'm going to change that word to the love of Christ begs me. It just pleads with me. Live right. Live right. Live right. It's begging me to do that, and I've got to do it. I've got to live the right kind of way, because look at all He's done for me. I've got to live in such a way as to serve Him. Christ's love should move me to want to be the best person I can be. Christ's love for me and His death on the cross and all that He went through, He did it for us. Now, if that doesn't motivate you to want to attend the worship service, to study your Bible, to live your Christian life, to keep yourself away from sin, I don't know what else is going to. That's the gospel. That's God's Word. That's a thing that really changes us. Now, there is not an alternative way for us to be able to have this transformation. We can't do that. If we're not careful, we'll be transformed, but we'll be transformed into what the world wants if we don't have the Word of God within us, if we don't study that and find out what it has to say. We can't be transformed. We're going to be conformed to the world. We're going to be like the world. But if we're like the world, then we've turned our back on God. And we can't do that. We can't turn our back on God. Romans 12 verse 1 is telling us, don't do that. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this mercies of God, all that God's given us, all He's blessed us with, all those things that are there for us. He's done all that for us that we can be a part of His kingdom and a part of His will and a part of His way. How are we transformed? We start transformation when we start the idea of thinking and talking about God and God's will. We're thinking and we're talking about that to other people. We're asking questions about that. And so we're trying to learn, what is this transformation thing? What's it going to cost me? What's it going to be? How am I going to do that? Can I even do that? And so we take that on. You just think about the people in Acts, the second chapter. When they heard Peter stand up and say, you with your wicked hands have crucified the Son of God. Some of those people said, wait a minute, did we do that? Did we really, really do that? What kind of people are we? What kind of people are we that we would take someone from heaven and take him and mistreat him? Look at how all those people, all those Israelites, all the Jews, how they looked at angels. When an angel was speaking, they were on the ground. The people were. When the angel spoke, everybody was afraid. Why? That's God's messenger. And some of them wouldn't even raise their head up when they found out it was an angel. What if you took one of those angels and you crucified him? What if you took one of those angels and just took an arrow and shot it through him? Or get one of those big guns and you shoot him? You know, or a bomb and you blow him up? And God comes up and says, that was my angel. How'd you feel about that? What if God came up and said, you crucified my son? The one that has all power, all wisdom, the one that is over things, the one that said, don't fear him that can kill the body, but think about the one that can kill the body and then take the soul and place the soul in place of torment. That's the one you need to fear and respect and honor. What would we do if we found out we'd crucified the Son of God? What did those people do? What can we do to get this right? How can we make it right? So the beginning of this is started not only in hearing and listening and thinking about this, but then it proceeds on to where we decide what we want to do is we want to find out, what can I do to make myself right with God? What can I do to start my transformation? And that is at baptism. That's what those people did. They were transformed because of their baptism. He said, you know, you're lowered into that watery grave. You come up out of that watery grave to walk in what kind of life? Newness of life. You're living a new life now. Well, what was wrong with the old one? That's the problem. It was conformed to the world. It let the world say what it would do and what it would not do. But now you're transformed, you're changed, because you're now saying, I'll do what God's Word tells me to do. That's what those people did. They heard the Word, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of, because of what God has done for you, because of what God has given you, because of what God has sent His Son to die, because of what His Son has done, you do this. You be immersed in water. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answering of a good consciousness toward God. You're conscious, you know what God's will is, and you're going to do it. And you're going to follow it. That's what we got to have. That's what He's trying to help us to see. And so we start that there. We start that there because then that old man of sin is put away. That what's left then? We arise from that watery grave to walk a new kind of life because we are a new kind of person. Maybe we need to change people's names when they come up out of that water. You're no longer Charles, you're Sam now. How'd you like to get your name changed? I know some people want to get their name changed. What if your name was Hitler? Would you like to have it changed? I know some people that they have a family name. And I think it's a good name. But one of the brothers in that family said, I don't like that. He took enough ribbing in that name that he had his name changed. Oh, man, it hurt the rest of the family. He had his name changed. We got to change not only our name, but our whole life. Because we are transformed. We're those different kind of people. We're transformed in a different kind of way. Now, turn with me, if you would, to Colossians, the second chapter. In Colossians 2, starting with verse 11, listen to what he says. In Him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. He's just talked about the circumcision of the Jews, and he's saying, here you've been circumcised, not with a physical circumcision like that, by putting off the body of sin. He said, you cut that off. You've cut it off. You've had that circumcision, that Christian circumcision. Not of the foreskin of the body, but of the whole life of that old person. It's all gone. You put that off, the sin of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. Through Christ you've done that. Now, look at what he says in the next verse here. Verse 12. Buried with Him in baptism, into which you also were raised with Him through the faith that is in the working of God. All this stuff is God's working in our lives. And us listening to it and us being willing to follow it. That's what it is. That's what it is for us who raised Him up from the dead. That's what He does. That's the transformation. That's the transformation that we have. It starts there even before baptism. It starts there when we're thinking and we're talking about this. Now, I'm not saying you're a Christian at that time, but you're thinking about it. And so your mind is on that. You're starting to think about a little bit. I've even seen people that change their lives a little bit even before baptism to kind of mirror that of a Christian. But let me tell you something. You can change your life all you want to. But if you don't let God's Word be the standard that you go by, it's a fake. It's not real. You see these people on the road show? My daddy told me this was taken from the Civil War. And that guy looks at them and says, they made it down the street 2 weeks ago. And you go, wait a minute. It's counterfeit. We got a lot of people in this world that are counterfeit Christians. They may go to church once every year. They may tell people that they're a Christian. They may not lie or steal or do some of those things. Well, that, you know, it's according to what situation it is. But they've never been immersed in water to have those sins washed and cleansed away. They've never become that new person. They've never been born into the family of God, John 3. And one of these days, they're going to stand before the Lord. I don't want to forget this thing up here. And the Lord's going to say, I don't know you. Why, Lord, I was talking about you to people the other day. I told them about your name. I told them, listen, next Easter when I go to church, why don't you go with me? Why don't you do that? Go down there. Listen, we got a track around the whole auditorium and you can run. We got a sports center here. We got this. We got that. Nothing wrong with those things. Don't think I'm being critical of those things. But being a Christian is more than that. Being a Christian is a transformed, a changed life. And that's what we've got to have, a changed life. It starts in the mind. That's what Romans 12 is saying. It starts in the mind, in the heart, and it's got to come out in the life. If it's just in your mind, it is no good. It's got to be lived out every day. It's got to change your character. It's got to change your conduct. It's got to change the way you live, the way you conduct yourself. If it doesn't do that, then it's a farce. And Jesus is going to say, I don't know you. Well, Lord, I had some good thoughts about you. Yeah, that's great. But you didn't make a commitment. You didn't make a commitment. And you see, not only do we do that to become a Christian, but and some people, they become a Christian, they're immersed in water. Do they receive the forgiveness of their sins? Yes, they do. Are they added to the church? Yes, they are. But then they don't study God's Word. They don't find out any more about it. Or maybe that's the only time you see them in church, you know. They're baptized, they're gone. And you're going, was that good? Yes, it was good. If their heart was right, they were forgiven of their sins. They're a part of the church. But it won't be complete until they serve God every day with their life. Until their character's changed. Until their attitude is changed toward other people. Until they have that loving spirit that Jesus Christ did, to where He was willing to tell people the truth when some people didn't want to hear the truth. So it's got to be not only just being a Christian and obeying the gospel, but it's got to be living that gospel every day and serving God and doing God's will. That's what the transformed life is. It's a different way of life. It's a different kind of life. Because now you're guided by this. And please don't think that the Holy Spirit is going to come in and just grab you and just, I'm going to tell you what you got to do. It doesn't work that way. The Word of God, and we've got to study it. It's more than just reading it, studying, finding what it has to say, and put that into my life. You say, whoa, that's rough. Yeah, unless you've made a commitment to do it. You ever noticed how easier jobs are when you make up your mind you're going to do it? Now, I don't know about you. If I make up my mind I'm going to do it, I don't care what's in the way, I've got to do it. Hard-headed, yep. That's what we got to be. We're going to do God's will no matter what. Are we going to be found crawling toward it? Are we going to be found dead on the way? But we're going to do it. Revelation 2, verse 10. Even though I got to die to do it, I'll do it. No matter what. That's a commitment we got to have. I hope you have that commitment in your life. I hope you have a transformed life, a changed life. But if it's not, get it. Start now. You say, wait a minute, I've been a Christian for a long time, but I hadn't really changed my life like it's supposed to be. Well, do it. God doesn't say, oh, by the time you die, you got to be over here. You know, here's the standard you got to have. And God says, okay, by the time you get to 55, you need to be here. 65, you need to be here. And 85, you're going to be there. He said, you got to be the best you can be from where you are now. If you keep adding to your life every day a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, I don't care if you start when you're 80. God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in to the joys that I got reserved for you and have been here for a long time. You won't find it exactly stated that way, but it's close to it. So if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, become a Christian. If you're here tonight and you are a Christian, have that transformed life. You start changing right now. You start adding a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. You don't have to change every bit today. You can't change every bit today because you've been in the world too long. and it takes a while to give it up. But you can do it. So if you want to receive what Jesus Christ has for you, if you want the church to pray with you and for you, if you want us to help you in some way, we'll try to do what we can. We may not do it exactly like you want it done. We may not tell you exactly what you want to hear, but we'll tell you what the Bible has to say about it. And that's as far as we can go in that. Please come right now as we stand and as we sing.